This show is sponsored by NatureBox. NatureBox ships great tasting, healthy snacks right to your door. You okay? Yeah. Forget the vending machine and start snacking smarter with healthy and delicious treats like dark cocoa almonds. Support this podcast by ordering a free NatureBox sampler box at naturebox.com/Joey. That's right. Free NatureBox snacks are found at naturebox.com/Joey. You get 5 free bags. It's 4 small ones and a big one. They even pay for shipping. Comes right to your door. It's naturebox.com/Joey. Go to onnit.com and use code word church to get 10% off of all of their optimization products. Alpha Brain, New Mood, Shroom Tech Immune, Shroom Tech Sport, all of their hemp protein bars and protein mixes. It's code word church to get 10% off. Go to meundies.com/Joey and get 20% off of your first order of the most comfortable men's and women's underwear they have. And right now, when you go to meundies.com/Joey, not only are you getting 20% off, you're going to get free shipping in the United States and Canada. And go to irondragontv.com. Iron Dragon TV is a brand new Roku channel that has the best martial arts movies you've been looking for. All of your favorites, all the Jackie Chan, all the Ip Man series. They have stuff you haven't even heard of. Tai Chi Hero. And the best part is they're adding new videos every day. Go to irondragontv.com and use code word Joey to get 2 free rentals.
Oh, shit. Break out the ecstasy. Tell your mother to get the fuck out of the house. Get the lollipops. We're going deep tonight, motherfucker. The church of what's happening now. Wednesday, February 4th. The day the devil was buried at sea. He's right here. Getting bit slapped in the room. Here you go. A black fucking vampire movie. What? That's how we roll, motherfuckers. Are you kidding me or what? Slinging dick and giving out popsicles. Let's do this shit.
I would never have guessed that you would come up with that song.
This is a bad motherfucking jam. This is one of the greatest openings and the top 10 openings in the movie. When Saint, whatever her name is, Tracy Lords, takes the good-looking dude to the fucking, the dude from Sons of Anarchy to the fucking, he got blown up, that dude, before you start telling me, no, he's not, that's the dude from Sons of Anarchy. He was in season 3 or 2 or 1. Fucking blonde guy that used to go to Marie ETC over there.
Okay.
She takes him to the dance and the vampires fucking, they turn into Donald Logan's in the scene getting his dick sucked right at the club. You see the chick sucking his dick and he's sitting next to another one. And all of a sudden, she comes in with the guy, and the guy's dancing with these hot chicks, and these Asians jumping up and down, and they're all dancing to rave. And all of a sudden, the faucets open up, and blood starts coming out. And everybody's
fucking where?
Out of the fucking pipes in the ceilings.
Oh, shit.
It's like a meat plant upstairs where they kill cows and stuff, but that's where they drain the blood probably. Who the fuck knows? But it's tremendous. And the fact that you haven't seen it really fucking infuriates me.
Why?
Because you're into all that shit, dragons. All you young kids are into dragons and demons and black vampires and shit. And people coming back from the fucking dead. You know what I'm saying? Who wants I never understood that. People sitting at home every fucking Sunday watching the show about people coming back from the dead and everybody wants to be in an apocalypse and people going down to the shore and dressing up like zombos and walking around. Get together. Go eat your wife's pussy, will you?
You don't believe in dressing up like a zombie?
Yeah, I do it every fucking weekend. That's me. That's what I do. I want to dress up like a zombie and walk around like, get the fuck out of here, right? Go watch a, whatever, Romero movie and get the full effect. That's Dawn of the Dead and all those movies.
How long did you dress up for Halloween? Until what age?
Like, I did it for like a year and a half.
You like the rain, you're like, nah.
Fuck you. I just put on a hat. What? Trick or treat, bitch. I swear to God, I'm not into none of that shit. I wasn't into dress up. No. People dressing up like fucking, what do you call those people on the weekends? They dress up like Vikings and have fairs and shit.
Oh.
And they stab each other with rubber swords. Really?
Yeah. You know what I'm getting into that?
Oh, yeah. I can't. When I quit this career, that's what I'm going to get into. Fighting people every fucking weekend with rubber swords and making believe I'm in England speaking with a fucked up accent.
You haven't been to Comic-Con yet?
Oh, yeah. I go every fucking year and walk around. The fuck out of here, that guy with Comic-Con. I got shit to do and people to see. I'm going to go down there and take a picture with the Partridge family. That's what I want to fucking do. What's up with you, Tarzan?
I'm feeling pretty high.
I know you are.
I'm doing good. You scared me.
How was your day today, my son?
It was good.
What'd you do?
Did
you do some push-ups?
I did. Well, I went to the gym. Okay. I didn't do push-ups.
And you stayed even extra longer, right? Like an hour and a half, you said.
Hour 15, just because.
Look at you.
Because I always kill it when we have the munchies.
What movies did you watch today?
Today I'm watching Dark Knight, the one with Heath Ledger. Just something mindless. It's a good movie.
Okay. No music for you on the treadmill, huh?
My mind goes off, and then I focus too much on the time with the music.
But with the movie, you're down.
With the movie, I just get distracted. It's amazing how much I'm starting to dislike my gym just because of the people who go there. Every day there's at least three or four people with scripts on the elliptical with them. And then today, this dude behind me on the treadmill turned it up to a speed that no one can ever run at. It was like he was trying to run like a superhero, but he was banging each time with his feet, so the entire upstairs would have to notice him. And it bugged me. He did it for like 20 minutes. I've never liked that kind of trying to get attention.
Now you know why I don't go to those fucking gyms.
And especially at the gym.
Now you know why I keep it simple at the YMCA. Now you know. And the YMCA in Hollywood was a good gym, but they had their fucking moments too. Don't get confused. Great gym, great staff. You know, they opened up at 5 in the fucking morning. You go in there at 10 to 5.
Mm-hmm.
You jump in the fucking heated pool, and then you go in the steam for a little while, and you go in the sauna. You take a little schvitz. Very nice. But every once in a while, there'd be an asshole that would come in naked and lay towels everywhere and just spread out like this was his fucking living room. And you had to sit there like, you know, like fucking you got a cold in the corner. You're like, fuck you. You know, you got to pick up your towel, guy. There's other people that, you know, it was kind of rude. But for the most part, 70% of the time, it was a great gym. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be a part of a gym where I got to dress up and see chicks with mascara on. And
that's crazy how many.
And fucking tight, like their suits are fucking proportioned. Their socks are on perfect. Their sneakers. They're not. And they go. The women at those gyms piss me the fuck off because they go to the gym and if they go in a pair, they do 20 minutes and they leave. It is the fucking most pathetic thing in their life. Then they go get a coffee, and it's like they did this fucking thing. They didn't do shit. They do curls. They look around. They walk around. It's a fucking nightmare. So
there's a lot of guys who I saw a guy who would do spurts of 10 seconds on the elliptical, get up. He would go wipe his whole body down and blow his nose, and then he would look out because it overlooks the weight room. And then he would take – I love junk food. But I would never bring junk food to the gym. The other day, there was a guy with a packet of Hostess donuts, those powdered donuts, and a soda from 7-Eleven, just eating it at the gym.
And what was he doing? Was that an elliptical?
No, he was just sitting down in front of the ellipticals, just chilling. And this gym is amazing. It's hysterical to watch. And then even the people who work there aren't that cool. They're cool when they're taking my money. Like when I signed up, they were all very friendly and very nice. But now I go in and ask for a towel, and I'm lucky if I even get one or get an answer. It's
really?
Yeah. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's because I'm chubby or because I'm not a hot girl or something, but they're very they're not very customer-oriented there. I think maybe they just don't like being at the front desk. Maybe it's a shitty place to work.
That's a fucking job you took. You got to like it. You got to enjoy some type of customer service and giving somebody a fucking towel, you know?
Yeah.
Years ago, Christy Miller, a dear comic friend of mine, gave me a free year when I was 400 pounds, and I couldn't even breathe then. And she gave me a membership to Gold's Gym on Gower. It's predominantly a gay gym. It's that one and the one on Santa Monica where they say it was free. It was open till 11. If I didn't have a spot, I'd go in there at 9, and I'd try to do shit for a half hour, lift weights. And I'll tell you what, they were very nice. I always had a great time in there. The guys were gay, but they didn't bother me at all. It was supposed to be a douchebag gym, but it really wasn't.
Right.
When 24-Hour Fitness opened, I thought about it because the pool is heated.
Is it?
And I guess the pool is open 24 hours. Right. You go at night. I thought about it. And then I caught myself and I said, I don't like those type of places. I know I'm not going to like it. Even if like one person listens to podcasts, and they're nice to me, and they tell the rest of the staff, hey, he's on a great podcast, or he goes on the Joe Rogan podcast. It still wouldn't. I just knew I didn't know. I don't want to see girls dressing up. When I go to the Y sometimes, I ask myself why the fuck I'm there. I see some crazy fucking people at the Y.
What do they do?
I just see crazy fucking people at the Y. Like, there's a Hindu couple. He's got to be 70, and she's got to be fucking, like, 65. And they're the cutest thing you ever seen in your life. And they come in, and she gets on the treadmill, and she walks. And he gets on the bicycle, and he rides the bicycle for like 8 minutes. Then he gets up, he lifts weights for like 3 minutes. Then he punches the bag for 2 minutes. Then he comes and he yells at her. They grab each other's hands and they fucking go home. It's very cute. I see a lot of Spanish people that are trying to lose weight. Their kids are all fucking fat, those little fat fucking Mexican kids. And the daughters. I see a whole family on the treadmill. And they're, you know, the whole family's in there. It's a family place.
Right.
But even when I was single and I was just dating Terry, I went to the Y. Because I just didn't want to feel like, I don't want to pay $150 a month to go fucking to a gym where pretty people go and they make smoothies at the bar and coffee. It's not a fucking gym, man.
Right. I heard that Planet Fitness, I think, has pizza and donut days at the gym. Have you heard about that?
Listen, that's just crazy. You know, I want a gym that has a great selection. Like,
yeah.
Like the Y doesn't have kettlebells. I got to go out to my car and get the kettlebells and go out to North Hollywood Park, you know? But the Y has fucking machines, and they have the treadmill, and they got the fucking bag, and they got a couple of Olympic bars and some benches. And that's all I need. I'm 50 years old. I don't need to fucking jump off buildings and shit, you know? And I'm happy that you went to 24-Hour Fitness. I'm happy that you continue to go. But it's, you see it for what it is after a while. I just don't believe that they treat you like that. That they,
yeah, it's
you
weird.
Have to be cool. You have to be cool or be a producer or that. That gym, when you told me that the guy from Sons of Anarchy went there, Hunan, it's got to have some type of, you know, if one guy goes there, Chris Brown plays basketball
there. Yeah, he
went
there too.
You know, at the Y where I used to go to, they played basketball upstairs on Wednesdays and Fridays or something. And I saw Flea there. I saw Denzel Washington there upstairs. But I never went upstairs to shoot a fucking hoop. You know, I just saw him and I'm... But this Hollywood Y where I go to shocks me. Like I said, it just fucking shocks me sometimes. I can't believe I'm in there. A lot of old people. Nobody's hot, you know. There's very seldom a chick. And I think I've seen chicks that have gone like the first week and get dressed up, and there's nothing in there for them, and I never see them in there again.
Really?
Yeah. It's one of those fucking things. So.
I'm not complaining when the girls dress up. They look. I mean, those yoga pants are amazing. But
oh, sure they are. You want to fucking fall on the treadmill? I want to fall on your face, son, you filthy motherfucker. Interesting week, you know.
Yeah.
Went to jiu-jitsu today. Got another strike from Higa Machado.
Oh, cool.
I'm so bad at jiu-jitsu. I really suck so bad at jiu-jitsu.
Well, so what stripe are you now?
I got two stripes. I've been in May. I'll be doing jiu-jitsu for two stripes. I won't get a purple belt or a blue belt for fucking 6 years at this pace. You understand me? But I don't give a fuck. I just go in there, dog, to get beat up. Today I got beat up so bad, but my breathing was a lot better.
That's good.
So tomorrow I'm going to go to the other gym, and I'm going to get beat up again at the other place. But it doesn't matter.
No, I mean, you've been doing it for 2 years, right? Close to 2 years?
May will be 2 years.
That's amazing, dude.
You know, I had to take 4 months off of my knee, and I broke two toes, but I still suck. I don't really have the time to go four times a week right now. If I could go four times a week, I'd get really good really fast, you know, but I just don't, and I don't think I could recover that much 4 days of jiu-jitsu, you know.
But have you seen it improve other parts of your life, even if you're not?
Absolutely. I've done a lot of... Every time I go to jiu-jitsu when I walk out, I feel really good about myself because it's the hardest thing I'll do. I've said it 1,000 times. So it changes my day. And I'll tell you what. Let's say I have jiu-jitsu. I have an opportunity to go to jiu-jitsu. And I can't go because I have an audition. I don't feel bad. But if I don't go because I don't go, I feel bad. Like, if I have an opportunity to go and I don't go, I'm like, ah, I don't feel like going today. I feel bad about myself. But as soon as I go to jiu-jitsu and I walk out of there, I'm a different person. I'm a different person on stage. I'm a different animal when I'm writing. I'm a different animal towards my wife, towards the baby. I can feel it. It calms me down a little bit. I enjoy it. Even though I'm not good at it, it's amazing. I enjoy just getting thrown on my back and trying to get out of the fucking situation and thinking. And, you know, if you run out of breath, you just tap out. And that's it. That's it. You know, I learned these little exercises so I don't have anxiety no more, and I panic, because if you have fear is in your breath, and you control the fear through your breath.
Okay.
So there's these exercises I do now, and it's helped me fucking dramatically, man.
Yeah, I mean, just the fact of sticking with it.
It's all about showing up. You know, I see it in comedy. I see it in people's actions. You know, people start things, and then they just fall off to the side. And even if you can't go 8 times a week, you know, you do it one time. That's why I tell you all the time when I cry, did you do a push-up today? I always do a push-up every fucking morning at one point. I can't do a push-up, but I try to do 2, 3, 4. And eventually I can get up to fucking 20 again. You know, at 300 pounds, you lose a fucking 100 pounds, you're fucking tremendous. You can do 2,000 push-ups. So it all starts with one and just keep showing up, man. I see it with fucking comedy. I see how it affected. You know, I got a weird way of thinking when it comes to comedy. And I don't share my views. People always say to me, why don't you tutor people in comedy? Why don't you? Because I have to have a talk with them before I would meet them. Like, I would have to have, like, that talk that Andre Carter's father said to him. Are you sure? Are you sure? Because this is what's expected of you when you make the jump into comedy. And if you don't jump into it that way, it's not going to pan out for you. It might take you a little longer. You might get to the process, but this is how it needs to be attacked. And a lot of people, when I talk to them about that type of stuff, they look at me fucking weird. Like, didn't you take any days off? Don't you have a social life? It depends on what you want. You got to look at your social life and go, huh, what time's the party from? Oh, till 3. Lee, I'm going to go do a spot first. Yeah, but they cut the cake at 9:15. That's great. I'm 50 years old. Who gives a fuck about your cake? You know, I got to go do a spot first. And then you make deals with yourself, you know? But sometimes, for me, the spot overruled everything. It overruled everything. No matter what you had going on or somebody else going on or what I wanted to do, if I had a way to do stand-up comedy that night, it was going to overrule all this shit I had fucking going on that somebody else had going on. A lot of people used to get fucking pissed off at me. They still do. They still do, you know? Eddie Bravo did 2 tournaments. I didn't show up to either one of them. You know how bad I feel? So now I didn't book that week. I'm definitely going to EBI. It's March 22nd, I think.
Oh, in downtown, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm going to stay in town for that.
But it's, we talk about it a lot, about people's work ethics, and it's not just in L.A., but it's, even, I still struggle with it more than I did even a year ago, but it's hard because you think you're supposed to do all these things. Like, you have, we say Friday night is dick night, but if you had a gig or if there's a podcast, you'd have to work. It's not... Most people think they need Fridays and Saturdays off.
It's still dick night.
It's always dick night?
It's always dick night on Friday night. When you get home, you just give mama a stabbing.
Right.
But growing up, I don't know. I always felt that there was this pressure on you that you had to go out on Friday and Saturday nights.
Right.
And in high school, I took that away. I used to just not go out on a Friday night just to see how it would feel. Just to see what it, and it was like I would wake up the next morning and make a call and see what I missed. And I would get the report, oh, you missed this guy. He threw a bottle at this guy. We went to this bar. We went to this place and ate. And you know what? What I realized? I didn't miss a fucking thing.
Right.
When you're young and you're trying to budget, you can't go out 7 nights a week sometimes. So I would go out 3. You know, when I went out, I did coke. There was pills. There was cars. There was clubs. It wasn't, you know, $10 to go out.
Right.
You dropped $200, you know, in those days. Now you drop $400 or $500. I'm just saying. $200 for a kid when you're just in the street, you do that 3 nights a week. That's $600 fucking dollars. That's right. $2,400 a month just going out. I was doing that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But still, I was still budgeting, like going, well, I'll go out on Sunday and get fucked up. I'll go out on Thursday and get fucked up. Maybe Saturday get fucked up, you know. So I was always.
And people think they're entitled to it. Like if you told somebody, oh, you have to work Friday night. A lot of people say, oh, I have to go out Friday night. Made me think about it was it's snowing so much in Boston right now that the college I went to had to cancel all the classes. And they're scheduling remake classes on the weekends for a little bit just to catch up. And some kids are signing a petition not to do classes on weekends. And I'm just like, and when I was in college, I probably would have thought the same way. But just looking at it now, I've had to work so many weekends. Like, it really doesn't. Like, just because you don't want to take a class because you usually go out Saturday night, it doesn't mean anything.
I had a, you know, I think if I wouldn't have lost my parents, I think that I would have watched more sports on Sunday. But because I lost my mom and I had a different mindset and sometimes I had a sacrifice. That's one of the sacrifices, you know. To some people, I don't put it down. I just don't understand it, but they don't understand my way of life. So that's what makes life interesting. I don't understand how, if you have an opportunity to make money on a Friday night doing something that you love, that's the other thing we got to discuss, doing something that you enjoy doing. Let's say you had to work, let's say your boss came to you and he goes, you got to work Friday and Saturday. And you said, fuck it, how about I just work Saturday and Friday night I'll work. You know, whatever, pick one. That I could see when you're 20, 22. That's a hard, you know, when you're fucking 20, your friends are out and here you are working in a fast food fucking restaurant to pay. You know, your parents will pay for tuition, but you got to pay for room and whatever the fuck, your right. food and your books and your meals. They make you a pretty good deal. You got to come up with 300, so you get a job at Taco Bell, you make 600, you have 300 for you to party with and 300 for you to pay for your, you know, to justify your fucking existence.
Right,
you know?
Yeah.
A lot of those jobs when you're in college are Friday fucking Saturday nights.
Yeah.
You're either bartending, you're working the fucking door, so you sacrifice that already. I wouldn't. When I was in high school, when I quit high school that September, that August for like 2 months, I had a job that you worked Friday nights. And when they told me what I was going to make and what the job was and the benefits, I didn't even think about it. I still got out at like 10 o'clock if I wanted to. I still had the whole fucking night. But some people, whoa, how the fuck are you doing? My friend Glenn, who is still at UPS, he fucking gave up Fridays and Saturdays in high school. Friday nights. Mm-hmm. Because he had that job 11 to 2.
Okay.
Where you go in at 11 o'clock and you load trucks till fucking 2:30 a.m. Do that when you're in high school and that eliminates that whole fucking lifestyle. But he had to do it for a reason. There was a need.
Right.
There was a need. There was a need for that money, you know? So
I don't know. People, you could say it's a Jew thing, but I've had a job since I was 15. And I can't tell you how many 4th of Julys I worked, how many holidays, how many my birthdays. So it's just, it's surprising.
Just another fucking day, guy.
Right.
And I understand. I understand. I sympathize. Some people like to party. Some people like to jump up and down and fucking giggle and go out and whatever. I liked all that shit, too. But if it's between fucking eating and, you know, what are you going to do? Mooch off your fucking friends?
Right.
You have to make some sort of a living. You have to do something, you know, whatever it may be. I just eliminated Fridays and Saturdays from my life. And at this point now, I'm a stand-up. I work on Fridays and Saturdays. Last week, it was pissing me off.
What?
Because everybody kept coming and going, so you're not going to watch the fight? Like, it was the end of the world. You know what, man? Sometimes, again, if it's between a fight and me doing comedy, I fucking do comedy. I don't give a fuck if it's a $15 spot or I'm working a weekend at one of my favorite fucking clubs. If they call me from the Comedy Store on a Saturday and they go, hey, you have a spot at 10:45, and that's when the fight starts, that, so be it. I'm one of those guys, and I've always been like that. Again, because there was a need.
Right.
I was either a junkie, I needed the money, you can't focus on it. I love sports. I grew up on sports. I don't ever want anybody to think that I'm misinterpreting myself when I say I only watch two plays in the Super Bowl. I mean, when I was a kid, somebody told me, you gamble basketball? Yeah, just watch the last 2 minutes. That's all that matters if you gamble basketball, yeah. Because it's all the way to the end. You never know if a guy just gets fouled. And he makes three free throws. It doesn't affect the game, but it affects the point spread. And you get killed up the ass.
Right.
You know, they win by 7 instead of 10, and you got a 7.5. You get caught by that fucking hook in basketball.
Yeah, that sucks. They're always great at that. I heard they only made like $3.5 million on the Super Bowl.
Who did?
The Vegas casinos.
Is that what you heard?
Yeah.
Good. You bought that fucking line? All these junkies, $3.5 million. They made money. That's their biggest day of the year. What about the illicit fucking? See, listen. Let's pretend you're, I don't know, some fucking rich celebrity, right? Who's in the public eye.
Okay.
And you're a gambling fucking degenerate. You got two options, all right? You could get your best high school friend, who's also probably a degenerate from high school that you grew up with, and you get him to put bets in for you in Vegas. Doesn't take two and two together when you're a fucking moron and you're driving a Mercedes into Vegas and laying $75,000 that this is not for you.
Right.
Right? People are going to say, oh, he's doing it for Joey Diaz or he's doing it for Joe Rogan or he's doing it for Ari or Duncan, whatever the fuck it is. So after a while, when you're a gambling junkie, what the fuck do you do? So you have other outlets and you have these big-time bookies that are across the country that are banks. They'll take $40,000, $50,000 from you.
Those still exist?
Yeah, they fucking still exist. Wait, did they go away?
I thought it would have just all gone to websites now.
No. Fuck those. Wait, would you trust somebody with $50,000 on a fucking website?
I don't know if I trust a bookie.
Listen, if you got a bookie, if you come to me and you go, listen, Joey, I like to fucking gamble, but I want to bet $10,000 a game. I don't want no fucking drama. I want to make sure I'm paid every week. I'll make a few phone calls and I'll find a specific bookie that'll take $10,000 a game. You probably have to wire him the money the first 10 times to put the game to build trust. So before you build the game, you got to wire him 10 G's, you know. But that's they're out there. They'll take $10,000. You know, who the fuck are they? If you came to me right now and said, I want to put $10,000, how do you know? How do I know you're fucking good for it?
Right.
So I come with a reputation. You want to bet $10,000? You also want it to be discreet. You're Brad Pitt. You don't ever want me to fucking say nothing. You know, so you're also looking for somebody who's very discreet. You're looking for all these things, Lee. So the other way to do it is to bet with books in Ohio, Cleveland, you know, Cleveland, Ohio, Youngstown. You know, maybe you know a big bank in fucking Miami, a big bank in Louisiana. They got a couple big banks in Louisiana. And you could call them up and say, I'm putting $250,000 down. I don't want nobody to fucking know this shit.
Wow. I didn't even know that world still existed.
What do you think those people, you're going to go to Vegas? If, let's say you got a fucking wife and you got kids. And you think you're going to call Vegas and put $250,000 down? It gets taxed. Everybody knows your fucking business. You know, what do you think? I don't know. I'm just saying. If you want to be discreet.
Maybe it's just because I was never in that at all. But even with like drug dealers and now bookies, how did you know? I would never know where to go to start to find one.
You go to a bookie.
But
let's say a bookie goes, I can't take that type of action.
Yeah, but they don't have a sign above a window.
But they know they're a bookie. They know somebody who does take that action.
Okay.
If I want to find a bookie, it'd take me 10 minutes right now.
Really?
10 minutes. I just get on the phone and make 3 calls. In an hour, somebody will call me back. Fine. And then we'll take it from there. And then I call them up and I go, all right, what do you want to take an action? Well, I don't really know you. Where do you live? I live in North Hollywood. Okay, I'll meet you before the games and give you $1,000 a game. About 6 or 7 times I bet. We start betting, everything's cool. After that, I call them up and I go, listen, I want to bet $2,500 a game. Let me call my guy, see if he'll take that from me. He calls his guy, no worries, boom. We go back for a few months. I call him up one day and I go, listen, why are we fucking around? I want to put 20 G's on this fucking game. He's going to tell me he's not taking it and his guy's not going to take it. But they know a guy. And for 10% or 5%, they'll call the bet in.
So, is it the same lines?
Remember, for me to take a $10,000 bet, right. I got to have $10,000 on the other side to create a utopia.
Right.
I'm just not going to take a $10,000 bet from you just to take it from you. I got to have a $10,000 bet on the other side so if whatever happens, I get the vig.
Okay.
That's how I make my money. I get the vig. So when you put a $10,000 bet, if you lose, you're paying me $11,000.
Oh,
I'm paying Tom Segura $10,000. I'm keeping that $1,000 off the top. That's how a bookie makes a living. He's not just going to take your $10,000 bet without a backing over here.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so he takes $10,000 from you. I got to make sure I got $10,000 on the other side. I don't lose. So let's say at the end of the night, I got $38,000 for New England, and I got $31,000. For
Seattle.
I'm a cocky guy. I'll keep 33, and I'll call 5 into a buddy of mine in Miami.
Oh, okay.
All right, let's do it. What's up, my brother?
How you doing?
You know me, dog, over here fucking schooling Lee on the lessons of bookmaking, explaining a utopia to him. I was explaining to him, like, if you want to call, like, if you called me, George, and said, Joey, I know you a long time. I really like George St. Pierre. I want to put 10 G's on him. I would say, right. Well, go to the sports book. You know, Joey, I work right there. I don't want people to know my business. You know, okay. I call a guy, right, and he'll says, yeah, he'll take the bet. That guy just doesn't take the bet, George. He has to have somebody else on the other side betting $10,000 on Seattle. Because no matter what happens, if Lee loses the 10, he gives me the 10. I pass it right to you. Lee's giving me $1,100. He's giving me 11,000.
Exactly.
So
that 10% called the vigor.
The vig. So that vig is how I make my living.
The hooky tries to get even action on both sides. That way he can always take home the vigor. So granted, it's not always going to work that way. Sometimes it's just going to be heavy on one side, and of course they cross their fingers and hope that side loses. But for the most part, a perfect day for the bookie is a million on the Patriots and a million on the Seahawks. They'll keep their 100,000 and then knock off all those parlays and teasers and all them other exotic bets. How long the Star Single Banner is going to go? You know, is it going to be heads or tails? You know, is Tom Brady going to bang three chicks or four chicks after the game? That kind of stuff, that's what they clean up on.
What's up, my brother George?
Not much, man.
One of the
hanging out here.
One of the most interesting weeks in MMA.
The show as always.
One of the most interesting weeks in MMA and one of the most saddest weeks in MMA, as far as I'm concerned.
Couple of weeks.
As soon as I read that yesterday, I called you because I didn't know what the fuck to think. You know, and both of them failed a fucking drug test. I mean,
and then John Jones a few weeks ago.
But as far as this, both of these motherfuckers failed a drug test. I could see one guy, or you know, but the guys that are fighting each other, this is, it's like a fucking black eye, you know?
But is the Nick Diaz one really? Who didn't expect Nick Diaz to test positive for that?
You know, what do you think,
well,
George?
I expected it. I mean, I didn't know. I shouldn't say you know what? Honestly, MMA has so many interesting characters. And 50 shows nowadays per year, just in the UFC alone. We cover Bellator, World Series. I forget about shit. All right, so had you reminded me, hey, Nick Diaz, he, you know, loves to smoke weed, did he go pop? Then I would have said, probably, you know, with a smirk. But I honestly fucking saw a great fight on Saturday that I enjoyed, that I hated. I had mixed emotions about it, you know. It was just great. Happy to see both guys back in the octagon after such a long time. At the end of the fight, I just thought, wow, I didn't expect that. I honestly thought Anderson was too big, fast, strong for Nick Diaz, regardless of the layoffs. Nick Diaz, he was a gamer, man. He went out there and he fought. He got an Anderson's face. And so at the end of the fight, I thought, okay, cool. You know, wasn't expecting any of that. Completely blindsided by the Anderson Silva positive test. The Nick Diaz, once I heard it, I thought, well, shit, what was I thinking? Of course, he kind of always does that. His third time in Nevada, where's the shocker there? But Anderson Silva, that took the wind out of me.
I just don't even. And it's funny because I called Ed Suarez early in the day just to talk to him, just to say hello out of the blue that morning. I got up and I go, you know, I haven't talked to Ed Sinister since the fight. I meant to call him before the fight. And I left a message. I don't want him to think that I was calling him to ask him stupid fucking questions. Now I feel bad, but I never expected. Hey, listen, you got to do what you got to do. It's a tough sport to train for. It's 5-6 days, 3 or 4 different disciplines, strength and conditioning. You know, who knows what goes on? I don't know how to break down, what gets you stronger. I don't know. You know, my heart goes out to him. My heart goes out to Nick Diaz. He is, in my opinion, this is not the pot calling the kettle black. He's fucking crazy. He's just fucking crazy. Like, we are definitely related somewhere along the line. Our bloodlines are definitely deaf. How old is he right now?
I'd put him around 32.
That's how what I was at 32.
He's 31. He turns 32 in August.
Are you fucking kidding me? They're giving that lunatic $500,000 a fight. His rent is $800 a month. He has a bicycle. You know, he doesn't go out. I don't even think he drinks. He smokes pot and he throws those fucking nunchucks around. And he goes to jiu-jitsu and he swims and he runs. How much weed will $500,000 last him for? They give him pounds of weed at that fucking store up there in Stockton. They give it to him.
Yet somehow he doesn't manage the money right because he's always complaining about being broke. Either that or he's trolling him. I know he has a strict diet, but when he goes out, everything's organic and, you know, that thing can add up a little bit here and there. But still, you're right, man. That's 500K plus his endorsements. It's going to last him a long time. Well, this time it's going to have to last him a long time because this is his third offense. So the first one's about 9 months. And then after that, they listen to what you got to say and go from there. But, man, I don't know what the UFC is going to do. The UFC has got to start cleaning things up, and they're going to have to make examples out of someone. And who knows, man? Maybe it'll be this cat. This cat sells tickets, though. He has to sell tickets. He's a character. He comes to fight. I don't know. To speculate would be foolish on my part because I know I'm going to be way off. And I'm in the industry, and I'm ashamed to almost say that. But honestly, I can't fucking figure out Zuffa, which resides about 5 miles away from our studio here in Las Vegas. Can't figure them guys out. I can't figure the athletes in our sport out. It's a confusing time to cover the sport and to be an MMA fan, which I still am, man. Well, I may cover the sport and talk to these fighters every day, but I'm a fan. And as a fan right now, I'm a little sad and disappointed. But you know what? This is an ongoing soap opera. I would call it General Hospital. It's not going to end. The sport's going to be around for a long time. It's just General Hospital, and this is just Luke and Laura fucking 30 years ago doing whatever. Tomorrow there'll be some more controversies, and we're all going to forget about this one. The happiest guy on earth has to be John Jones. The pressure's off him.
Well, you know, I hope John Jones recovers. I hope all that goes well. This, to me, is just, they had a disaster year last year with injuries. And it opened up the fucking year. They just lost 3 more fucking guys. They just lost Weidman. They lost Anderson Silva off the roster. They lost Nick Diaz. You know, Jacare got hurt. Yoel Romero got hurt, which, like I told you the other day, in my opinion, was the best fight of the fucking year. And it was the best fight of that fucking card in L.A., to be honest with you. The bad luck continues for the UFC. Right immediately, last night I sat there at one point and I wrote UFC, karma, whatever the fuck I wrote on Twitter. And I saw a couple fighters retweet it and a couple MMA people retweet it. And I could just imagine, I'm going to get that call from somebody. But in my world, it's like the UFC was fun. The UFC was fun to watch. There was something about it. And all of a sudden it became something else too quickly. And I think they're moving a little too quick, I don't know what it is. I have nothing against Conor McGregor. But I don't like how this whole situation has been handled. To get the truth out there, that's the truth. I'm not going to lie to anybody. I don't like how this situation has been handled.
In what way?
From A to Z. I just do not like it. I see what it is. I see what it is, and it breaks my fucking heart. That's it.
Well, can you expand on that a little bit, though? What do you mean? Like you don't like the way he has opened his mouth and gotten opportunities as opposed to other people that used to maybe have to win more fights to get to the position he's in?
I think this whole thing started with Chael Sonnen. I think this whole thing started with Chael Sonnen. I think that when he was talking stuff about Anderson Silva and going a little deeper than what should have been and calling the Nogueira brothers names and stuff like that, I think right there Dana White should have stopped that. It became something else to me. And this is a guy that I love and respect, but he was talking too much. He wasn't really covering the spread. He was not covering the fucking spread as a UFC fighter. He was talking, he was selling tickets, but it was like a fad diet. And then look what happened. Boom. He fucking tests for PEDs again, and he's gone. And he created this whole fucking bad taste in the mouth. So now you get this fucking bad taste in your mouth. And now you have Conor McGregor, who's a great fighter. He's exciting. He's got Ireland behind him. He fills stadiums. You know what? There's not a person in the fucking world that if I took him in a room and quizzed him, said they wanted to see him against Dennis Siva.
You've been saying that for a while.
It pissed me off. The fight that I wanted to see right then, there was only one fight. He gets the winner of Cub Swanson, Frankie Edgar, and the winner of that fight got Jose Aldo. That's me as a fan. That's me as a fan. That was the right move right there. When they put him up, and okay, Dennis Siva's tough, and he destroyed Dennis Siva in a tremendous fashion and all this shit, I still have a bad taste in my mouth. And I know Conor McGregor's working hard on his jiu-jitsu. I know that he's doing a tournament in April. And it's like they're buying the kid time. And I get it. But I look at the gates. and I look at the pay-per-views, and they just raised the price on the pay-per-views. So you're holding out on one thing, even though you're making money. You're making money across the board. But if this kid wins this fight, you're fighting in an arena. So this whole thing has been sold because this kid's fighting in an arena. I don't like the pictures of him drinking out of a fucking coconut. I don't like him talking about how he's not even in the fighter hotel. He's across the street in the Fajita suite. I didn't like that. They're all fighters. What does Frankie Edgar feel like at home when he sees that and hears that? What does GSP feel like? They made millions for the organization. They're walking around the fucking MGM in the morning, and so is fucking Frankie Edgar. You know, this kid's at the Fratrini suite and making the fighters feel bad about it. I saw the interview with Chad Mendes when he told him he was going to have his ball sack on his face. It's just becoming something else. And if for some people...
Storylines, the outcomes.
Well, not the storyline. It's not the storyline. There's nothing fake about getting knee to the fucking head and getting body slammed and getting arm barred and shit. I just don't like the path they're taking. That was it. That's my whole fight right there. I wanted to see Frankie Edgar against Conor McGregor. That's it. I didn't like when Conor McGregor jumped the fence and went after him, and this and Dana's bodyguard was right there waiting for him. You know, and he held them. I just didn't like all this. It's disrespectful all over again. It's what we learned with Chael Sonnen all over again. I'm not saying that this kid's going to get popped for steroids. I'm not saying these things. Again, I'm not saying nothing negative about Conor McGregor. I'm just letting you guys see the situation that I see. So,
all right, so let me ask you something here. Going back to Anderson Silva, you guys think he's done?
I didn't see the whole fight. I'm not going to lie to you. But the mood I got from people was that he was done, or that's it. We want him to go out like this. That's it. You prove your point. Your leg healed. Come back. Beat somebody. Get a payday. Say goodbye. Not yet. You know, go back to Brazil. Spend your fucking McDonald's money. Open up a school, do lectures, whatever the fuck you want to do. But to go out this way, we're never going to see him again. They're going to suspend him for six to 9 months.
He's pretty much done. You know, I was 50-50. I thought before I heard about the PEDs, I thought, okay, you know, maybe he's going to go off right here in a blaze of glory. He's talking about his family, wants him home. But right here, he's going to get an automatic 9 months. He's already pushing 40, and even though he's come out and put out a statement that he says he's never put anything illegal into his body, come on, man. They don't mess these tests up. I mean, they have before, but fuck that, man. No way. It's going to be tough for him to prove his innocence.
Well, you know, I don't know.
He's saying that they may have tampered with it, or, the procedures. Going to find loopholes in the procedures of the past. Yeah, Chael Sonnen did an interview today, and he said, man, if he did it, just come clean. I've seen this with Bobby Bonds, Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, Lance Armstrong. I don't know, man. It sucks. He made a mistake is how I look at it. Now the question is, do I go back and do I believe that he did this the whole time? Because at 32 years old is when he got into the UFC. A lot of guys are on their way out at 32, and at 32 he gets in the UFC and starts lighting fools up. So it wouldn't be that far-fetched to think that he could have done all this his career. You know, but he passed every single test, so we got to believe that he didn't. And in this instance, he did, and maybe it was the trauma coming off the broken leg. He needed something to recover. He was fucking with him mentally. Who knows? He slipped up. But I guess that's the next thing we're going to have to try and figure out and see, you know, see how forthcoming he is.
The thing I don't understand is the argument against using steroids, especially in fighting, is that it would give them an unfair advantage and they'd be able to beat people up more than just a normal person would. But then we don't hear about this until after the fight already happened. So the danger would have already happened. Like, why don't the results come out before the fight?
Yep, $1 million question right there.
Well, both for him and John Jones.
Zuffa and say that there's no way that had they known they were going to stop the fight from happening because too much money is at stake. Hell, they're even pointing the finger, saying that the commission may have known. And of course, the commission makes decent payday out of it as well. But you know, tell you what, man, we got some good reporters in the sport, especially at MMA Junkie, and they're going to try and figure that out and see what happened there. Because January 9th, you test, and then you don't get the results for 3 weeks later. I mean, what's the point of the random test? You know, you're supposed to pop these guys, but they don't go out there and perform, you know, enhanced. And that's exactly what didn't happen on Saturday night.
Well,
the whole thing with Nick Diaz, again, not shocked one bit. That pot that he may have smoked three weeks ago or whatever did nothing to enhance his performance. That's the most ridiculous thing out there. Hopefully they change that going forward. But the thing with Anderson Silva, that was botched, man. They need to get those results a lot quicker than they have.
Well, let's not understand, George.
Honestly, if you really want to clean up the sport, start the random testing right now. Pick 100 of your athletes out of the 500, that roster of 500 that they have. Pick 100 names and get them all tested within the next week, and let's just see how dirty that organization is as a whole. Send the message to everyone that's training, and it's going to cost you some money, but you know what? Put the pedal to the metal and do that for the next 6 months, a year, 2 years. Do what you got to do, but you will not tolerate any type of cheating out there, and because it's terrible, guys. Black cloud over the sport.
Now, this is what I understand. In 1987, I got arrested and I got in trouble. In 1988, I got locked up. I went to prison. And when I came out 89, 90, I was in a halfway house. If you pissed on a Monday in 1990 at a halfway house who has state funds, which has no money, I would always look at the boxes when they tested me, and that's how I knew. So let's say I had 6 tests a month. They would test me for 4 of them were just for cocaine, but for 2 of the 6. So 4 of them would be for cocaine, and 2 of them would be for everything. Like when I went to court with my ex-wife, my ex-wife was pissed because she kept saying I was smoking dope, right? Even though she was stealing dope from me when she dropped the kid off. Here's the beauty of it. She paid for urine tests that I had to take. My attorney talked the company and just tested me for blow, not for THC. So the whole time they would get the report and they would say I was clean for blow and other things, but they weren't testing me for THC. My point is, the tests were coming back in 2 fucking days.
That's what I was going to ask you.
Why are these fucking tests coming back 3 weeks later? The UFC has money. These people have tests. When you get a job in Vegas, they pull a strand of hair out of your head and they tell you everything you fucking did, every dick you sucked, every pussy with a yeast infection you sucked for the last year. Did you know that, George? You do know that.
Yes.
You got a job as a fucking valet at the MGM Grand. Right there, what? Before you could say, I'll be back, they go, bing! They take a fucking hair strand right out of your hair, and they come back and they go, on November 28th, you had 16 martinis, and you took 3 of your mother's sleeping pills. That's how good the fucking tests are. That's how good the fucking tests are. All right, that's one thing. Number 2, let's talk about John Jones. I love John Jones. I don't give a fuck what happened. I don't give a fuck about the blow. Listen, he's 26 years old, all right? The same with Nick Diaz. They're 30 fucking 1 year. You know what I was doing when I was 31? Do you have any fucking idea, George? No, I was fucking acting just like Nick Diaz, even crazier. You know, here's this kid who, when did John Jones piss in a bottle? December 4th or something?
A month before.
Yeah, December 4th.
December 4th.
What happened was, I'll chime in on that other thing you were saying. So, Anderson Silva and Nick Diaz, that random testing that they have, called the WADA testing, that one's blood. Okay, it's random, and they know that throughout the camp, there's probably a good chance they're going to come because the UFC has been doing that for about a year now. And that one's blood. That's the one where it has to go through a procedure, and then they go through, I think there's one of the agencies is in Salt Lake City, the other one's in L.A. It takes a while, man. It's got to be faster than what it is, but that's what happened. The one they do after the fight where they found out about the marijuana metabolites, that one's urine. That one they can get back, like you were saying, Joey, quickly within 24, 48 hours. So that's why we got the result on Nick Diaz right away. But it also explains why The John Jones one took about 2-3 weeks, and the Anderson Silva one took about 2-3 weeks. The difference was with Anderson Silva, the commission stating that they didn't know until yesterday. With John Jones, they knew about a week before the fight. The difference was they weren't supposed to test for coke, and WADA, World Anti-Doping Agency, says that cocaine, when it's out of competition, meaning, I guess, within 12 hours of the event, they shouldn't be testing for that. So it's kind of like loophole stuff, you know, but it doesn't make any sense at all. That's why the UFC was able to find them, because it was a code of conduct policy thing, and that's why they had to come down on them. And they did find them, but that's why they couldn't stop the fight from happening, because it was out of competition, and that's not against WADA regulations.
But why did they let him fight then?
Because he technically didn't do anything illegal.
It didn't, but it didn't even come out. Like, why didn't it come out a week before the fucking fight? Like, I don't know. There's something there that's not right. You and I both know that. I don't know about fucking WADA or Wudu.
They could have went to Daniel Cormier and said, hey, look, this happened. You know, it's up to you whether you want to take the fight. But I think Daniel Cormier's already stated he would have taken the fight regardless. But that's basically what it is. It was out of competition. Therefore, like let's say they found the cocaine metabolites after the fight with the urine test, like the way they talk Nick Diaz, and you'd probably have a no contest. But because it's happened out of competition, there was nothing they could do.
So what do you mean? So after the fucking weigh-in, I go back to my room and I snort fucking 3 lines of coke. So the next night when I fight, after the fight, I come up positive, and that means I did the cocaine in competition? So you're telling me 12 hours?
It would be a no contest, and technically what you said would probably be out of competition because they say 12 hours before the event. So that would be Saturday morning on a pay-per-view. That morning if you did something within the 12 hours, then that's called in competition. But like you said, after the weigh-in, it would still come up on the test. And if you beat me, Joey, then you would get a no contest. But technically, like you said, yeah, you're right. It might be out of competition as well. It's all stupid, isn't it? The dumbest thing that they could have ever.
I'm very confused. So because I'm confused, in my mind, I smell a rat. Like when I get confused and I can't figure it out after I beat it up for a couple of weeks. And again, I'm still a fan of the sport. I love John Jones. You know, I love watching fucking Conor McGregor fight. I think he destroyed Seaver. But I just, you know, I remember years ago people always saying that they were taking care of the Spanish kid. What was the Spanish kid that was supposed to be the poster boy? And then they went to Miami and he said,
Roger Huerta?
Right. They said he wanted fucking per diem money. What the fuck was he doing? And they got insulted. I don't know what the story was. And then afterward, when he left, they said they were coddling him. There were people that said that, you know, the UFC even said that they were, promoting him to be a huge star in the Spanish market. So they were giving him, like, kind of easier fights. Is that true?
Right.
Or am I fucking making this up or something?
Well, no, you're not making it up. And many fans have felt that way, not only about... I'd have to go back and look at... Like, I did hear the same thing. I'd have to go back and look at the competition he had. I remember he had some pretty tough cats.
Fuck yeah. Well, Lenin Martinez fight. Lenin whatever. The kid who retired was one of the best fights.
Leonard Garcia.
When they yelled at each other in Spanish. Until I'm with their way. Yes.
He also fought Clay Guida. Clay Guida was a pretty tough son of a bitch at the time. So, I don't know. I mean, yeah, I'm sure the matchmaking helped out a little bit. And I'm sure that they do that. And a lot of people have said the same thing about Conor McGregor. Yeah, they haven't put him up against the wrestler. He's a big name, and you want to get him to the finish line, you know, which is the Aldo fight. So you're definitely not crazy for thinking that, Joey. But, you know, some people would also say it's smart business on the UFC's part because those guys need to create big fights. Too many guys are getting injured. Too many guys are getting in trouble. So on the one hand, you say, wow, the UFC's sharp for creating some of these matches and protecting some guys and getting themselves into some big fights so that they can start selling a ton of pay-per-views and drawing big ratings and keeping the sport going. Because it's going through hills and valleys, peaks and valleys, and right now it's going through a valley. So, like I said, some people would look at it that way. Others would say, no. You know, that's too much. It's not being fair to all of your athletes, the ones that are earning the shots. You know, it's supposed to be more about putting the best versus the best, as opposed to, you know, shortcuts for certain fighters.
You know, I love journalism. I love reading. The internet, the good thing about the internet that you become fans of different blog writers and you write. And what I've read the last 2 days, a lot of little things I've read, and it's like right now people are down on the UFC. And I think they're, a couple blogs I read were like, you know, all the drugs and this. What these motherfuckers don't remember is I came up in the 80s when fucking the San Diego Chargers were a cocaine-fueled fucking team. And I was telling somebody a story. Dan Fouts at one time was off for 3 weeks. First of all, him, Chuck Muncy, that fumbling motherfucker, that cocksucker, I must have lost $10,000 on that fucking. I was in high school, Chuck Muncy. He would kill me on Monday nights because San Diego would throw bombs and then Chuck Muncy would have to run him in and he'd fucking fumble the ball. And he became a big coke guy. And then Fred Dean left the San Diego Chargers and went to the Niners. In an interview with Sports Illustrated, he called them a bunch of freebasing motherfuckers. And nobody really knew what was going on. And then a couple of years later, some guy wrote an article. He wrote a book or something. And somebody sent me like pieces of it on an email. And I read the excerpts of a book. And there was a story in San Diego where they were in a hotel room coked up to the gills, the San Diego Chargers. And Dan Fouts was walking around with a gun. And the gun slipped and it shot him in the arm. And they called the in those days, they had a liaison with the San Diego Police Department. They called the liaison. They got a doctor to come over. They stitched him up. And they said he slipped and fell, and he hurt his shoulder. No, he shot himself with a .22 in the fucking shoulder. I mean, this was the NFL back then. Look at today. An NFL player got caught with $200,000 in his fucking car.
Yeah, and like 63 grams.
And 63 grams. I mean, you know, listen, there's good and bad in every sport. Don't be down on somebody. You know, yesterday people were talking about drugs and shit. Listen, those guys in the NFL don't get to be 6'6", 290 pounds because they don't do something. At one point or another.
Ain't that the truth? And then they go into broadcasting and they're right back to being, you know, 6'3", 220. And they're playing like 80 pounds bigger. But I'll tell you what, man, you took me down memory lane because I remember those Chargers. Those Charger teams, John Jefferson, Wes Chandler, Air Coryell.
Air Coryell,
bitch. I remember those rumors around Chuck Muncy. I did not know. I thought that struck me more as a choir boy, but wow.
No, look up Chuck Muncy online tomorrow. If you look up Chuck Muncy online, Chuck Muncy went crazy years later. Because some kids were talking Monday. I went to this meeting and they were saying, well, you know, Seattle, I can't believe they threw the ball. And I go, you motherfuckers are too young. You motherfuckers don't remember Air Coryell. That motherfucker would throw a 1 yard touchdown. Listen, they could be 3-1, and he would throw a 40 yard fucking bomb. That was his frame. That was why they were Air Coryell. What was his name? Chuck Coryell. What was his name? The coach?
I think Don Coryell.
Don Coryell. So the name of their offense was Air Coryell. Dan Fouts had the body of a fucking Michelob bottle. He was the most unhealthiest looking quarterback you ever seen in your fucking life. He was square. All he did was throw. That's all. He couldn't move out of the pocket at all. He never got a yard. But they would have thrown it from anywhere, dog. They didn't give a fuck. 3-1 from the fucking boom, 40-yard fucking touchdown. Because they didn't give a fuck. They threw it down your throat, you know? Long time ago, huh? Nobody remember that?
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. Their games.
Yeah. I remember all of that, man. Those were some exciting times.
You always had to bet the over with them, and the overs were like 60. Who fucking bets an over when it's 60? And I remember going to bed one night on a Monday night. The final score was 58-52. Like, that's the type of games they played. 54-48. 48-40. They had no defense. They had no defense. Their offense was everything. Their game strategy was, listen, we're just going to bomb these motherfuckers to death. Don't worry about defense. Do what you guys do. Just make believe you're doing what you're doing.
But you're right, Dan. There's problems in all kinds of
sports.
Yeah,
there's fucking problems. And every fucking...
MMA's not immune to it. We're just all waking up by now.
I think the UFC, you know, again, It's a term I use constantly because when I see somebody slipping in a personal view and a business view, it's the law of diminishing returns. It happened to me 2 or 3 times in my life. I learned my lesson, and I never did it again. You could only do so much, George. You could only.
Did you guys hear that Anderson Silva is still going to be allowed to coach Tough Four Brazil, whatever they call it?
Yes.
They're filming here in Las Vegas, him and Shogun, who are the coaches, and the UFC decided to stand by him and to let the process play out. He put out a statement saying, nope, you know, it was. They must have tampered with the testing or whatever because I've never put anything illegal, like I said earlier. But they're going to stand by him. That surprised me, honestly. I thought they were going to replace him and get another coach. But that's going to disappoint a lot of people because if you do want to make a statement and if you do want to project to your fans that your athletes are clean and you won't tolerate anything, then I would have believed that if they are going to let the process play out, they could have done it without him being in a coach's role.
You know, when it comes to that stuff, I don't know. I don't want to cut somebody's legs off because of a mistake. You know, I've made tons of mistakes. I wouldn't want somebody cutting my legs off. If he can't fight, maybe he's a good coach.
But I think if it was anybody else, if it was a lesser fighter, they wouldn't have had any problem because they're... I was thinking about it when you guys were talking about all the rules. The UFC is a business, and then all the athletic commissions are like rule that just general fighting sport, so that like they're not connected at all. The NFL has its own rules, and it's kind of governed within itself, and it's just crazy how much input they have, and all the UFC really cares about at the end of the day is money. They don't care if they're doing drugs. They don't. They want more exciting fights.
It's like the end.
If somebody with a lesser name was in position, I honestly think they would have cut them from that coaching.
Yeah, he's not going to be around.
When you project too much, that you're only going to protect everyone at the top, and you're trying to let everybody know that you treat all your athletes the same, it's fair across the board, this, that, whatever. And then you do something like this, it doesn't sit well, man. You see all the other athletes how pissed they were at the way the John Jones situation unfolded. And granted, it was kind of out of your hands a little bit because of the fact that they couldn't penalize him. You know, the commission couldn't do anything about it. So I kind of get that. But still, until the athletes kind of got all the facts and all that, I mean, they were attacking Zuffa. A lot of them did not like it one bit.
And they didn't like...
But, you know, this thing with Anderson Silva, man, it's not done. I'm sure we'll learn more.
You know, they grew, guys, and they're going through growing pains. I mean, I was just sitting here going, when they were just regular, they didn't have all these problems. So when they started reaching out to Macau and doing all these cards and doing, you know, Fox Sports and Fox Sports 1, and you don't know what, you know, the prelims are on the fucking computer. And I think that they have a lot on their plate, and I think that they're going to hopefully, I don't know, it's just the law of diminishing returns. You can't sell T-shirts and open up different markets, and you know, it's just too much. And now they added women to the fighting, you know, to the sport. So they're getting adjusted to that. You know, that's a complete different thing they don't know about. You know, what the rules are, they can't fight with a tampon. Who the fuck knows? You know, you don't fucking know. You don't fucking know. You know,
it's a fucked up rule.
Next thing you know, you get karate chopping, a tampon comes out of your pussy on national TV. Who the fuck knows? You know, I don't know this shit. So,
but then the Reebok thing is kind of fucked up too, when you think about it. That they're not going to let people wear, like, non-approved uniforms and cut all that money. Because they're not paying. When you look at boxing salaries or whatever the purses are, like, they're millions of dollars. And then the people are getting, like, at most a couple $100,000 at these fights. And then you're cutting a big major way for them to make money. Like, didn't Anderson Silva even say before this fight he wouldn't wear it?
That's why maybe he tested positive for cocaine. Maybe, you know who put the cocaine in? The same guy that shot John F. Kennedy. Because once he opened up his mouth, all of a sudden he tested positive for fucking D-Belites, whatever the fuck he tested positive for. So maybe they said, oh, so you don't want to fucking put Reebok? Well, here you go. We'll put a coke rock. We'll put a fucking steroid in your fucking piss test, and that's the end of it all. I mean, who knows? I don't fucking know anymore. I just...
Hey, can we go back to something real fast?
Go ahead, brother.
I want to know your guys' honest opinion, man. We're shooting it straight. Us three right here doing the show, Church of What's Happening Now. I want to know, because I get some heat for this. I have just I'm in a slow process of embracing women's mixed martial arts. There's about 10 good athletes that I enjoy watching, that I thoroughly watch and go, wow, she knows how to throw a head kick or a spinning back kick or set up certain submissions. But a lot of the other young ladies, they're athletic, they're tough, so I'm not going to take anything away from them, all, you know, all that other stuff. But I still feel like they're in the 1990s of mixed martial arts. Like, if you go back and see, you know, UFC 8, UFC 7, you're going to see, you're going to see some really good athletes like Don Fry, Mark Coleman, and then you're going to see a bunch of tomato cans out there. You're like, what the fuck? The sport was really these guys? And right now, I don't know. L.A. has a co-main event and a main event, and it's four women. And L.A.'s where I'm from, man. I'm from Southern California, Orange County. I get excited when the UFC goes back there. But I was pissed when they canceled the other L.A. card. And I wasn't too happy when Ronda Rousey was headlining against Liz Carmouche and Lyoto Machida and Dan Henderson with a co-main. But whatever. I'm not sexist. I swear to God. But now L.A. has, you know, the thing that happened with Vitor and Weidman, and I'm just not as excited to go out to L.A. as I was. And I think a lot of it, honestly, is just I'm just not as down like everybody else about women's next martial arts. How about you guys?
I don't really have that much of an opinion on it. I've seen a few of the fights, but I was listening to Ari Shaffir's podcast today, and he said something that I actually think makes sense thinking about it. He said it's not going to be exciting until someone at least beats Ronda for, like, one round. They don't have to win the fight, but they actually have to, like, beat her for, like, one or two rounds. Probably win the fight, but until then, it's just kind of, it's exciting to watch her, but at the same point, it's, like, it's not as exciting.
She's like Mike Tyson, you know. For a headliner, she might come out and knock you out in fucking 30 seconds or armbar you or whatever. Wasn't the question more about what I thought about the women in MMA? Isn't that the question?
Do you like women's mixed martial arts as a whole?
Between you and I? Yes. I watched Misha Tate the other night against the wrestler, and that wrestler knows how to throw some fucking punches.
Yep. And that would be two of the ten that I like. I mean,
right? I like
Tate and Ronda Rousey have a lot of heat. When them two were fighting, I was into it.
I love it.
Not many of those pairings that come up where I go, "Fuck yeah, I can't wait."
We got about
here's my 800. Here's my 600.
We got about eight girls.
Here's some buddies. I just can't get into all of them. You know, perfect comparison with Mike Tyson and Ronda Rousey. That's exactly what she is. She's a Terminator. And
yeah,
you know,
she's a Terminator.
If anybody gets past a minute or two, it's an accomplishment. But other than that, to see a co-main event at UFC 184 and it's two more ladies on top of Ronda Rousey and Kazan Garo, man, that doesn't get me excited.
That card needs one more fight. Something has to be added. That's not the card. Vitor's got to step up. Somebody's got to step up. I know Gerard Musasi wanted him. That's a good fight for him. I heard that he wanted to fight Mark Munoz or some shit. I mean, that, you know, who the fuck knows? But, no, it's time. They got to add something else to that card. I agree with you there. But no, am I a fan of Ronda Rousey's? Ah. Am I a fan of Kat Zingano? Kind of. Misha Tate, I like. The wrestler she fought, I like. There's a couple girls. I don't really know their names, but they're okay to watch. They're in the ballpark. And I know people enjoy it. And it. Listen, man, it's the fucking future. You know, Hunger Games got bitches crazy and shit. They started sharpening their knives and throwing away the frying pans and getting back out there and smacking hoes like old school and shit. I don't know. I really enjoyed, you know, it's not bad. I can't lie to you that the other night I wasn't entertained watching Misha Tate against that wrestler and looking at that wrestler throw those punches. And she's
that was one of the better fights of the card.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it too.
Yeah, she's got a kid.
Again, LA, I'm just disappointed, man. I feel like I'm going to the Lilith there instead of UFC card.
I think that what they need to do with the women is do, like, you know, Kat Zingano's got a kid and her husband died. My heart goes out to her and her family. And, you know, these women have stories, man. You know, I remember seeing Alexander. Remember Godzilla, the black Alexander? What was his name? What was the black kid that was in the UFC for like five fights? Houston Alexander. I saw Houston Alexander the first time. He knocked the motherfucker out in 10 seconds, knocked his mouthpiece out, came out again, Godzilla, another motherfucker. But it wasn't until one night I was watching something that he raised his 6 kids by himself. And he was a UPS driver, and he trained in the middle of the night and had to get up in the middle of the night and cook breakfast and sleep only 6 hours. And I fell in love with the guy. Every time I see the guy, I give him a hug. And these women, they're moms. A lot of these women have interesting stories. Now, those little wiry ones that were on The Ultimate Fighter, those bitches are crazy. Them bitches had 2 choices, The Ultimate Fighter or prison. You could either see that bitch on Spike or you could see that bitch on MSNBC on a Friday night during those prison shows. You know which ones I'm talking about. Those little lightweight ones, they looked a little crazier.
Yeah, the stories, man. There's some good ones in there. I agree.
Yeah, I'm interested to see where this woman thing goes, with this MMA goes. I'm really interested to see this, man. It's not.
All right, how about you, Lee?
Yeah, no, I agree. I like it. I think it's kind of the issue they're having too many fights is they have to have, there's less of a stock of women fighters, so it makes it even more noticeable when it's a bad fight.
I mean, and everybody's watching those fights. Listen, let me tell you something. I can't wait till they have those helmets that they put on people and let you know what they're thinking.
Yeah.
Okay? If you took a UFC in Vegas and on the way in you gave them a helmet and you said, everybody put the helmet on during the women fighting. If there's 18,000 people in that arena, 16,500 are waiting in their mind for something to pop out. They all want a fucking costume malfunction.
Yeah.
If Misha Tate gets somebody in a fucking headlock and one of those tits pop out, oh my fucking God. Oh, on Fox Television, on Fox One Sports, oh my fucking God. That would be tremendous. So don't tell me that every man is sitting there at that thing going, if Misha Tate's fucking cheek popped out of her ass right now, how good would this be? Everybody's waiting for, you know, some of the positions, you're waiting for that monkey to pop out of the fucking short. I mean, don't lie to me, George. You sat there and you said, oh my God, what if her tit popped out right now? Just for a split second. That just shoots through your mind. Like, remember in the 70s when you went to the movie theater during the commercials or during the movie theater, Coca-Cola would slip commercials in there and you'd see them subliminally and you get thirsty for Coca-Cola? Same thing. It's just thoughts that shoot through your mind. What if her tit fell out? What if
it almost happened a couple times with Rossi.
Yeah, no, everybody's waiting for that. And that's the other reason why men love that shit. Men love that. Listen, retarded men love that shit. To see 2 women fighting Jello and shit on Wednesday night at your local bar. I never liked that shit. Hot fucking bikini contest. I don't give a fuck. If her monkey's out, then I'm there. But if she's got a bikini on, that's why I don't go to Hooters. I'm going to go to Hooters and eat with fucking people with bikinis on. Take that bottom off. Show me that stinky ass. I want to smell that fucking rotten muffler when I'm eating that wing. You know what I'm saying? Fuck Hooters and their stockings and shit. I love you, George. Thank you for calling in. You're a bad motherfucker. You always give me great insight. Listen to George on MMA Junkie. How many times a week? Every day, correct?
Yeah, Monday through Friday, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. Catch us on SiriusXM Channel 92. And if not, you can listen to us on the internet, www.MMAJunkie.com/radio. If you're ever in Vegas, stop on by and pay us a visit. We're at the Mandalay Bay. Racing sports, but thanks, guys, for having me on the show, man. It's always a blast.
Thank you. I love you. The studio's ready?
Studio's ready, man, so you guys come on down.
I'll be there Memorial Day weekend.
Co-hosting again.
I'll be there Memorial Day weekend. I'll come in the day early and co-host Thursday and Friday.
Awesome. All right, looking forward to it. Thank you,
I love you,
guys.
Buddy.
Take
Thank
care.
You, my friend.
Bye-bye.
All right, we'll see you. Bye-bye.
What the fuck, Lee? Let me give some shout-outs to this motherfucker, and we got to talk about something.
Okay.
Very important. Alan Braham, Casey Schmidt, you German motherfucker, and your little buddy there. I finally found your letter. I had it in the back pocket. I took it out. That's why I don't give a shit at shows. Noah Pastick, Harry Henderson, Brian Nelson, Jose Perez, Jay Dummy, and Ookie Spooky, you sexy motherfucker. I'll see you next week in Austin. What's up, Lee? We got to discuss something here with the church.
Oh,
I just
got
to shoot this duck. Let me talk to you people about something. I don't want to bring you people down, but let's get this out on the table right now. We've had 2 call-in shows. Great. I fucked up because I didn't put out a topic. Lee told me today. You know, I love when I go to these fucking comedy shows, and after the show, we get to talk a little bit, and there's always 6 or 7 motherfuckers that pull me aside. and say that me and Lee or whatever changed their life, you know, my story about prison or whatever, whatever the fuck they say. And it's kind of creepy when you're after a show, you know? Especially when a man is looking you in the eye and saying that you helped him out. It's fucking creepy as shit. You know? And you don't even know this fucking guy, you know, but he listens to the podcast and maybe you take something from what I said, you know, whatever.
What do you mean creepy?
Whatever, Lee. You know, I pull you aside and I go, hey, man, I did time, whatever. People talk to you and sometimes it just seems off color. I know where they're coming from. I know where they're coming from. And then we do, I do emails and people go, listen, you inspire me to do this or whatever. And I appreciate it. And then when we do the call-in show, people call up and they're like, hey, man, we really dig what you did, blah, 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 you know, whatever. When my father was dying, you were there. Something about your funeral. Here we go. I'm fucking the Fast and the Furious. I got the Chinese against the fucking Polacks tonight. I'm going to tell you something, guys. That's all great and dandy. We help you out or maybe a story or I help you relate. I just want you guys to know that you guys help me out. I have a notebook that I have. And when I get back from the road, it's just a special notebook that I open up. And it'll say 2/2 to 2/8, you know, and that's the week, Monday through the following Sunday. And I write Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and I write what I have to do. On Monday, I do a podcast. On Wednesday, I do a podcast. Monday, I go to jiu-jitsu. Wednesday, I go to jiu-jitsu. Thursday, I take a flight, you know, 1:45 on Tuesday, I got Dr. Amy. And then as the schedule comes in, I write around it. So when people call me, so when I wake up on Monday, I know exactly what I have to do. But then I have side things. Like I have to call Kyle to write my shirt, so I'll write Kyle. I have to go get blood out, take blood out for this knee. I'll go write blood on the corner. I'll put my goal for the week to work out. Two weights, or I'll put two bikes and two jiu-jitsus. And then I'll put Jackie, and that's my daughter's name. And I've been doing this for about a year. Every week, that's my other daughter, the 25-year-old. And every week, that's how I start my week. And by the time I leave on Thursday, I always check off all the shit that I'm supposed to do. Like today, it said doctor, 10 o'clock, 11 a.m., jiu-jitsu. It said David Foley was supposed to meet our friend David Foley from whatever. I erased it, then it said 8 p.m. podcast. That's my day. But some part of the day, sometimes I'll write, I have to call somebody in there. But my goal for the week was always to call my daughter. It's been, and I'm not lying to you guys, and I told my wife that I showed her a notebook. I go, look at this. Every fucking goal this week for the last year has been to call my daughter every week. I say that to myself. I got to call my daughter. I got to call my daughter. I got to call my daughter. Well, this week, yesterday, she turned 25 years old. And I wasn't even thinking about it. My friend Loops called me on Monday. He goes, tell your daughter I said happy birthday. Because it's Lou's birthday also, on the 3rd of February. So he was born on the same day as my daughter's. So we did the call-in show Monday night, and it was on my mind Monday. I thought about calling her. You know, I've been thinking about it. I thought about picking up the phone in a couple of hotels because they wouldn't see the incoming call calling in, and they would pick it up. And then I would go, hi, this is Joey Diaz, and I talked to Jackie, and I would catch him off guard. So yesterday I woke up and I had to go to the, I had to do something in the morning and then I had to go to daycare with my wife and Terry to look at daycares and we walked to the daycare and the midway there Terry goes, what's going on? I can see the smoke coming out of your ears. And I didn't say anything. No, I'm just thinking about, I got to put Mercy in a fucking daycare, you know. She's growing, you know. But what I was, and then I went to the daycare. When I went to the daycare, Jackie, I used to walk her to daycare when I had her. I used to be a roofing estimator and my wife used to cut hair. So the daycare was up the corner. So while I was at that daycare, I started thinking about my daughter. Oh, my God, last time I was in the daycare, I would pick Jackie up. And then once she had a kid that bit her, so I told her to bite the kid back. And they didn't let me come back to the daycare. So I left there yesterday, and my goal was to go home, eat lunch, and call Jackie. And then I got high, and I didn't call her, and I took a nap instead. And I woke up and I sat up at the computer and I go, you know what? I got to get the fuck out of here. I took a shower. I got dressed. I went to the weed store and I went to Marie ETC. I bought a fucking sugar-free coffee. I sat down. I opened up my notebook. And to top it off, the chapter that I'm writing right now, that I'm trying to write for this book, is about me walking away. What really happened? You know, I was going to war with them, but the only thing that was keeping me alive was comedy. It was the first time in my life I was making strides doing comedy. And then I realized the truth. Now, that's what I told you motherfuckers. The truth of the matter was that they yanked this little girl from me. They yanked her from me with the cost of attorneys. Like, I was looking at it and how I would only get her on Wednesdays from 2 to 7. And every other Sunday from 2 to 7. And basically, they yanked her from me. But they yanked her from me in a legal way. And the beauty of it was they laughed in my face. And when I always talk about the kiss of death and karma and things coming back, well, let me tell you something. It was the way when we giggle here, how I rob somebody and I giggle about it, it was done to me. You know, it was done to me. This is why I know all about karma and all about kisses of death. And this is one of those stories that they yanked me. They fucked me up the ass. You know when somebody fucks you up the ass and they steal something from you and you see him every day? You ever get into a fist fight with somebody and they break your nose? And you guys shaked hands, but you never really remembered. You never really forgot that fucking broken nose. Like, you're like, one of these nights, we're going to get drunk and I'm going to break his fucking head for him breaking my nose. It's one of those things. Like, I never really forgot the pain. I never really forgot what I went through. Like, the embarrassment of somebody taking something from me. Yeah, I could tell you guys that, you know, I wanted her to grow up better, whatever. The truth of the matter was that they were going to yank her from me and I was going to lose my mind and fucking stab somebody. So I said, fuck it. Let me go do comedy. But if I go do comedy and I commit to this, I got to do something in my life to make it worth my while. And that's the only way I could come back. And I always wanted to kill those people. My revenge was to just do better, just to stay alive. And I'm here today. So yesterday, I was at the coffee shop. I took a couple sips of that coffee, and I called.
No way.
Yep.
Did you pick up?
Nope. I got a machine, and I said, this is Joey Diaz. It's Jackie's birthday today. It's her 25th birthday. I want you guys to tell her I said happy birthday and that I love her. And, you know, I don't know what happened. The years got by us, and I just want to make that call to see if we can make this happen. This is my number, 323. I told my number. And I said, if she doesn't want to call, that's fine, too. I just know in my heart that I made this fucking call. And I hung up the phone. I'll tell you what, I lost 80 fucking pounds in my heart. I'm not going to lie to you, Lee. It was amazing. I went to that Laugh Factory last night, and I tore that room in half. And then I went to the store and tore that fucking room in half. And today I went to jiu-jitsu, and my life has changed dramatically. And it's not something I did. It's something that you guys did. And you know why? Because you guys keep me in check. Because if I'm going to talk the shit I talk, I got to fucking back it up. So in my life right now, I took care of all my loose ends. And it's because of the church. So we're even, motherfuckers. Don't ever come up to me again after a show and tell me that I helped you get your life together or that me and Lee got you off track, because we're even. I would have never done this on my own. But I knew that I had to do this for you guys in mind. I fucking called. And you know what? They didn't call back. And guess what? I don't give a fuck, guys. I went ahead, I called. They're probably sitting around scratching their fucking heads going, what the fuck is our next move? You know what their next move is? To just move on with their life, to do what they think is best for them.
Do you think she even heard the message?
Lee, I don't know. I don't know. And I don't care. It's like, I got it out.
That's awesome.
I made my move. You know what I'm saying? I think that a lot of things are going to change in my life just because of me making that call. For a long time, I was very scared.
How long did it take you to do it? Like, how long had it been?
I've been trying for a year, probably 18 months, to make a call. And the deeper I got in with you guys, I knew I had to make that call. So I just started by writing her name on the side of the page and looking at it on my schedule every day. So every day when I load my schedule, I see Tuesday, I have to go to Acupuncts, I got to drive Terry here, I got to meet with this guy from Disney, and in the corner, I would see what exes have been up, and it would always be Jackie. And every week, there's two things. I still haven't gone for the blood test either. I'm not going to lie to you guys. I'll probably do that next week now that I got this out of
the way. Probably.
You know what I'm saying? Because fuck that blood test. The motherfucking shit. Feeling good tonight. It's a beautiful Wednesday night to be alive, man. I took a big weight off my chest and my shoulders when I made that call.
How stressful was it when you, like, the phone was ringing? Was your heart racing?
It was fucking horrid. It really was horrid. I don't like those people, guys. I don't like those people at all. I don't like getting... I learned a big lesson with them. I learned how I felt when I robbed people. They robbed me. They took something big from me. And I'm going to tell you something. When I die and I go to heaven or purgatory and I see my mother, she's going to give me a kiss and she's going to give me a hug and she's going to look at me and she goes, I can't believe you let those fucking motherfuckers live. Because I know the blood we have in us. The Valdez blood, that's like when I even think about it, Lee, I want to get on a plane and parachute out where they live and just blow up the fucking house. But I can't. I have responsibilities to you guys. I have responsibility to my wife. I have responsibility to my daughter. But in my heart, because they really, really, really did get over on me. They really got over on me, Lee. And you don't know what the pain... And it's not somebody, a random person. It's somebody you had a relationship with at one time. It's somebody that you shared stuff with. It's somebody that, you know, it was a bond. All right, we broke up. We don't get along. Boom, boom, boom. That's it. It's over. They kicked me when I was down. And then they even took my dog. Who takes your fucking dog? They took my dog.
That's fucked up.
And wouldn't give me back the fucking dog. Like, they were like, antagonizing me. So part of me to this day feels like a fucking pussy for not fucking them up. But I wouldn't have done anybody good in jail. I didn't belong in fucking jail. So I just want to thank you guys for keeping me in check and making me think at least in that direction that I had to do this. And I owe it to the church. I ain't gonna lie to you. I wouldn't have done it on my own. I'm a fucking pussy.
That's awesome. That's really cool that you got. I mean, it's did it happen because it was her birthday, or were you just ready?
It was because it was her 25th birthday. Yeah, it was her 25th birthday. What the fuck, you know? We probably haven't spoken for fucking 10 years. What the fuck, Lee? It's that time, and I've gotten 1,000 emails from people from the church telling me to contact her. And they knew. I always knew they were correct. I never felt out of line. I always knew that they were correct in what their words were. There were a couple people that were assholes about it, you know? But I did it, and that's it. That's what the church is all about. You know what, man? You take baby steps, whatever it takes you, but you're always working to that fucking goal, and that's all I ever fucking do, man. Just working towards that goal a little bit, you know what I'm saying? What do you got planned this weekend, fucko?
I feel you, dog.
What are you doing? What are you doing Friday night?
We don't have any plans yet. But...
You're going to keep it loose this weekend? No fucking Chinese restaurants in Hong Kong Village or nothing?
What's wrong with Hong Kong Village?
Nothing. I'm just saying. You know, you always got an exotic. What about Saturday night? Where you take it?
We don't have any plans yet. We're going to figure some stuff out.
So you guys are like an in couple. You Uber. You take an Uber.
Every once in a while, yeah. It's cheap. It's cheap as fuck.
So what are you going to do the rest of the night tonight? I don't have a spot at the store.
Oh, my God.
I got the college
this,
Saturday
this
night.
One and a half star thing is not good for talking.
Yes, it is. You look beautiful. You're just uptight. I don't know what the fuck you're uptight about. I'm trying to take the stick out of your ass. It's a beautiful night to be alive. You know what I'm saying? You got to stay loose. You got your blue shirt on. Your hair looks nice. Look at you. What the fuck? You go home and you panic. I've been trying to tell this guy.
I'm not panicking.
That he has anxiety, but when he takes the edible, and then he realizes why, he goes home.
I have anxiety when you come into the office, and you always come in, you're like Kramer when you come in, it's always a different entrance, and then you have this like little backpack, and you just go, you have like, it's like a gift backpack from a show, it has like 34 pockets with you, because you keep going, you put different tubes, you pop the tube, you pull out different bags,
oh please,
and then it's just, I just see all your like, you just pull in the money, like you laugh, you just look up and smile. It's like the creepiest thing.
I got everything on this fucking bag.
I know, and there's like 18 zippers and...
I got everything. Glasses, backup glasses, lighters, backup lighters, rolling papers. I think I got a syringe like Rambo. I got fucking nose spray. I got everything in there. I got fucking... I don't have no food in there. I should get some trail mix just in case shit goes bad. I'm always prepared. I got a few carbohydrates. I don't know what the fuck they are.
I don't know what to think about steroids in sports. I guess it's cheating, but at some point, like, could they just let people do whatever they wanted? And because it seems like they're doing it anyways, or I don't know how I feel as a fan.
Listen, I heard a rumor Here's what I heard. I heard that fucking steroids saved baseball. At that time, I wasn't watching baseball.
Was it like Sammy Sosa, McGuire, and
stuff? Yeah, I knew that they were having that baseball race, whatever the fuck they were doing, but I wasn't involved with it, so I didn't really wasn't paying attention. You know, in football, what do you want to see? You want to see hits. You want to see people blasting each other. Now you can't do the helmet. The helmets no more. They have a lot of restrictions and whatnot. But still, I mean, I don't know. It's like a hypocritical type thing. It's like I'll do, but don't. You know what I'm saying?
Like, especially with the NFL, because they sell pictures of the hits. And they used to have, like, DVDs of the best hits. And now all of a sudden they care. It's like the same thing we were talking about with the UFC, where it's just all about money. They don't. They say they care, but they really probably don't.
Nobody cares, Lee. You ever see Chaz Palminteri in Bronx Tale?
No.
You never saw that movie either?
No.
Oh my God.
Is that a good movie?
Yeah, it's a pretty good fucking movie. But you know what's a good fucking movie I haven't seen yet? Seen in a while. You know what's a funny ass movie? Bullets Over Broadway. See if they got something up on Bullets Over fucking Broadway, Lee. While we're looking it up, let me give a shout out to my sponsors here. On It, always fucking rocking it with the Shroom Tech. I took some Alpha Brains today. I went down to fucking to Jiu-Jitsu down there with Higan Machado. I also blasted a little Shroom Tech Sport. I did well today. You know, I breathed heavy. I had to get up and fucking go outside and breathe. But I still lasted a couple fucking sparring sessions. Also, a shout out to Iron Dragon TV. I love them. The best thing about these guys is like On It. On It is simple. You go to onit.com, you look around, you see what they got. I can't get you 10% off on the weights and the ropes and nothing like that, but I'll get you 10% off on the minerals and vitamins, all right? So you go to onit.com, go try it with the Alpha Brain, get the smallest size, boom, 10% off, gets delivered right to your fucking house. Go on the cycle of it, I guarantee you'll love it. If not, you get your money back guaranteed. But to do that, you got to go to the Onit box and press in.
Church.
Oh, shit. C-H-U-R-C-H. And get 10% off. They also have the Stay On It program. You can't fucking lose with this thing. I'm telling you right now. Look at me. I'm feeling good. My mind is clicking. That's because of the Alpha Brain. I went back on it. Will I bullshit you? No, motherfuckers. I love you, cocksuckers. Again, right here, my main man, Dave Foley, Iron Dragon TV, fucking around the house. Classic martial arts. Classic martial arts. You understand me? The Ip Man series. What else? Jackie Chan. Early Jackie Chan. When he was working for fucking non-union with Puerto Ricans with suntans and Scott's tape on their eyes. Shit. This is deep and shit. We ain't fucking around no more. All those type of film genres. If you like classic martial arts films, if you like martial arts films at all, go to irondragontv.com. They're going to rock your fucking world. You're going to love what they have. Dope. Go to irondragontv.com. They got a box. Press in.
Joey.
Oh, shit. Get 2 free movies. And these people don't fuck around. This is Nanotech. They're the same people who sponsored Tim Kennedy and another UFC fighter. I love Dave Foley. I'm going to meet him tomorrow. I'm telling you, go to Iron Dragon TV if you like classic martial arts films. Tell a friend. Give them the fucking, what they put in the box?
Joey.
Boom, there you go. And they get 2 free movies to get the party started. You're sitting there with those same rotty fucking underwears. Rotten up, giving you that mold under your nutsack. You got to scratch it. You can't even scratch a second time. You got to go to the bathroom in front of your mother. Why are you doing that to yourself? Do yourself a favor. Go to MeUndies.com today. They got a tremendous selection of shorts, those little tight boxer shorts. Why are you wearing those fucking white cotton shorts with skid marks in them? MeUndies has tremendous underwear, men and women's. Thongs, tremendous. The cotton is something that you've never had. I have my fucking pair on right now. They're floating on my nutsack. Something that you've never worn before. You understand me? It takes the heat and the sweat away from your nutsack. If you wear MeUndies, I wear MeUndies to jiu-jitsu all the fucking time. You know why? Comfort. Your nutsack don't pop out. It's a tremendous feeling. Why am I telling you? Listen, go to MeUndies.com. Look at what they have. Start with one pair. I ain't fucking around. Start with one pair. Go to the box and press in.
Joey.
And you get 20% off your first order plus, right?
Yeah, plus.
Free delivery, free shipping to U.S. and Canada. Go to MeUndies.com right now. Look at the selection. You're going to love it. It's Valentine's Day. It's coming. Stop being a pussy. Get her a nice tongue. Then you got no fucking excuses. You know the best thing about the thong? You just slide that motherfucker over and shove your tongue in that little monkey and sniff that little bush. It's all over. It's better with me undies on, you understand? Because it keeps the heat in there. The chouch is warm, like a cookie when you check into a hotel. You understand? You check into a hotel, they give you that warm cookie. That's what it is with the me undies. And you get that little monkey. It's shaved fucking tremendous. Anyway, go to MeUndies.com right now and put in what in the box?
Joey.
Joey, and get 20% off your first order, and they ship to Canada and the United States. Comfortable
for free.
As fuck. Listen, why are you eating those potato chips?
Come on,
why are you eating those fucking chips and all that shit and those La Bamba peanuts with the fucking mint on them? That shit ends today. You know why? Because I'm going to turn you on to something that's fucking free. Free as fucking cancer. NatureBox.com. Nobody's better than NatureBox. Nutritious, healthy, dietitian-approved meals sent right to your door. And you know what's going to cost you the first time? Gratis, free, ugats, nothing. You know why? Because they know for a fact they're going to hook you on something. That's how good the fucking... Who gives you anything for free? Nobody. Somebody gives you something for free, next thing you know, you're sucking their dick in an alleyway. Not with fucking NatureBox.com. They're going to send you 5 bags direct to your house. 3 small bags, 2 big bags.
One big
bag. The cocoa almonds, the cinnamon, the French toast.
Sticks.
Sticks. Sticks. The kernel corns. Sticks. He looks like James Gandolfini in his last movie, The Drop, with the fucking beard and shit. They got those little popcorns, the cinnamon French toast, the cocoa almonds are delicious, the plantains, the Philippine, whatever, the sweet plantains are delicious. Listen, don't listen to me. Go to fucking naturebox.com, see what they got. You are going to fucking flip, all right? They're going to ship it to you for free, gratis. Go to the box on NatureBox and press in.
Joey.
And get your free. Who got nothing? Nature Box sample. 4 small bags, 1 big bag. I'm telling you, it's going to change your fucking life. And you can tell them what to send you. That's how good they are. Please, again, on it, LandDragonTVMeUndies.com and NatureBox.com. Support them. They support us. Give them their love. What do you got for fucking Bullets Over Broadway? What scene you got?
It's only pulling up plays.
No movie? No film? Bullets Over Broadway, the movie.
Okay. Yeah, that's all.
This is what I got to deal with people. Breaking my heart, Lee.
So, okay, here we go. Here's something.
What's the scene?
It says highlights.
Hold on. Yeah, let's see what they got. I forgot how good this movie was.
There's an ad. Hold on.
How come this ain't queued up?
Because...
lighter fluid. It's because it's lighter fluid.
What?
What is this, Tonight Show? Forget it. You're fucking slipping. Anyway, it's a movie about a dude that has a play and he needs an investor. So the mob invests in the play. And it's Chaz Palminteri early on. Fucking hilarious. So he invests money in it, but he has to rewrite it with the guy. And he turns out to be a great writer. So he gives direction and stuff. When the guy don't listen, he shoots him. He shoots the fucking tremendous. I laugh. Jennifer Tilly's in it. The dude who was in the movie with Sean Penn, The State of Grace, that played the mobster, Jimmy, the one that was in Analyze That and Analyze This, the fat guy, Jelly, he's in it. It's a great fucking movie. If you get a chance, Bullets Over Broadway. That's how we roll, cocksuckers. So that's it. That's all I got for you motherfuckers on a Wednesday night. What's up, Lee? What's up? You're stoned.
Yeah.
Nice week, right? Nobody bothered nobody. No. Next week I'm in Cap City, so you don't want to go to Cap City?
I would have gone.
What are you going to do? You're going to sit with Mama for Valentine's Day? Where are you taking her?
I told we're doing the whole, the foods
that's
we
right.
like.
That's right.
That you think is ridiculous.
The foods you like, that's right. What are the foods you like?
In-N-Out, Buffalo Wild Wings, and Pacific.
And what are you going to get in In-N-Out Burger? Let the people know. What are you going to get?
Huh? Oh, what am I going to get?
Yeah.
Just a double-double.
One double-double?
Yeah.
No fries?
I'll share her fries. Those fries would stink.
How many calories is a double-double?
I don't know, probably 500 or 600.
No.
You don't think so?
No. A double-double is a lot more than 500.
How much is a single? I thought you said the single was like 400 or something.
Yeah. So a double-double is 2 patties, fuck, on another piece of bread. So where do you get... That's a killer with the fucking double-double sauce on it. That's 1,000 calories, my friend. You know,
yeah, probably.
You'll be on the elliptical for 3 days, just sweating up a storm.
That's what I did today.
Did you really? So you did an hour 15?
Yeah.
Look at you. You're dwindling to nothing. Give me the crap. Give the people on TV the crap. Look at you. Give them the bicep pose. The open, double open. Oh, shit. Look at you, you sexy motherfucker. All right. As long as you're happy, brother. That's all I want
you
to do.
I'm happy. I don't know how you get this high. You call me and you torture me throughout the day.
I've been high all fucking day.
Because you just take more of them.
Listen, as soon as I get done with my business, I go stop by the weed store.
What do you mean you get done with your business? You're doing this at 6 a.m.
No, I smoke dope as I'm doing my business. But as soon as I'm done with my business, I pop the edible of life. And that's when the party starts in my day. Nothing wrong with that. I'm just adding some color to my fucking life, cocksucker. I'm not a fighter. I don't need to fight nobody. I can get high. I can get high, Lee. Don't fuck with me, bitch. Let's end this motherfucker. I love you guys. Another shout out to On It, Iron Dragon TV, MeUndies, and NatureBox.com. Cap City next motherfucking week. 2 weeks after that, Indianapolis. Crackers and shit.
Crackers and shit.
Look at you, Lee. Read this fucking thing. Where are you? You're sitting there like a mook.
Now that the show's over, don't forget to go to naturebox.com.
The show's been over. The show's been over, all right?
I don't know why you're giving me the business.
I'm not giving nobody no business. You know I love you.
I love when Steve says that. So go to naturebox.com and sign up to get your free sample box of great-tasting, healthy snacks. Forget the vending machine and start snacking smarter with delicious treats like barbecue kettle kernels. Go to naturebox.com/Joey. That's naturebox.com/Joey. Go to MeUndies.com/Joey and get 20% off of your first order of men's and women's underwear. And right now they're going to give you free shipping in the U.S. and Canada. Go to IronDragonTV.com and use code word Joey to get 2 free rentals of all of their great martial arts movies. And go to OnIt.com and use code word church to get 10% off of all their optimization products.